welcome to Adlands Podcast. Today we have Kelly J, the founder of standingforwomen.com, with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about her billboard campaign that has been banned and forbidden and removed and all sorts of things. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming. I was just going to ask, the only article that we've written about your billboard campaign was when it was actually removed from billboard situations in Liverpool by the advertising company that put it up. How did that happen?
How did it get up?
Well, how did it get removed so quickly? I mean, I know that it was somebody who was complaining on Twitter, but I'm just kind of fascinated that it went so quickly. It was just one person complaining.
Well, I think it was more than one. And I think what they did is PrimeSight, who is the owner of the media space, they put a little notification up because it went up and nobody complained. And a few people shared photos, but it didn't really get any attention. And then PrimeSight themselves, the small business arm, tweeted a picture of it and said something favorable, which I can't remember. It was something like, we support small campaigns, or we support women, or something. And that seemed to really antagonize trans activists and trans activist allies. And so they contacted PrimeSight and a bit of a campaign of, you're hateful. And they contacted clearly the right people who would be quite worried and concerned about being perceived as hateful. And then they issued a statement. So they took it down with immediate effect. So they literally sent someone out to take it down as soon as the complaints came in.
Wow. Did you have to like still pay for the full media buy, or did you get your money back?
They just quietly gave me my money back with no notification, no correspondence whatsoever.
Wow. Mm. That's kind of different. Usually when something's banned, it usually goes through the ASA in the UK. Like somebody complains to the Advertising Standards Authority and then they make a decision and then you can't run the campaign again. But I've never seen your campaign up at the ASA. I don't think anybody's complained there about it.
No. In fact, I have called them and they basically said there was nothing hateful or against advertising standards of putting that particular dictionary definition of the word woman up, like, surprisingly.
Yeah, nothing hateful in the dictionary. It's just the definition of the word. So who came up with the campaign? Like, or is this the only campaign you've run? Because it's pretty, I think it's pretty spot on, because it's just like, yeah, it's a dictionary definition of a word. It's very, very simple and everybody understands it immediately.
Well, I came up with it.
You came up with it.
I'm a little bit of I quite like a debate. I quite like an argument. And what I like about an argument and a debate is finding out from the other side the central kind of what really is going on. Because you can argue about a plethora of things, and really there'll be about one solid thing that is that's right in the center of the pivot. So whether or not you agree with this particular thing will shape the rest of your argument. So I was looking at this debate and we'd had words like menstruators, cervix havers, and all this sort of language which was used in place of using female or woman. And I just thought, well, central to this, what we're really losing here is the word woman. And that's not just by these other sort of words that describe women's bodily functions or bodies that erase the word woman, but also diluting it by including people that aren't women in the category of women. So woman was central. The Times was too difficult and expensive to advertise in. And I found out that paper billboards were relatively cheap. And so I thought black and white, you know, it's plain black and white English. And we'll just put it on a billboard. And that's what I did.
Brilliant. David Ogilvy, famous advertising man, said you should never put white type on black backgrounds. And ever since then, everybody has, because it's actually really effective. So I think that's pretty funny, too, that you went straight for that. Have you tried any other messages? Because this one's really quite simple in that if you just read it, you're like, yeah, that's a definition of woman. I get it. And then you don't think too much about it. So the most effective part about it is when it gets banned, because then people have to start talking about why is it getting banned.
I mean, I have thought about putting man up, because I think that wouldn't cause any controversy and that would be a story in itself. But then you know, the motivation of putting that dictionary definition up on a billboard was to provoke and antagonize the people on the opposite side of the debate, who I knew would just go a little bit nuts about us saying that a woman is an adult human female. And they would know that it was definitely excluding men from that definition. So I could do that, but that I don't know if that would get me the sort of column inches that I'm looking for. There is something else that I can't tell you about, but what I'll do is, and as soon as it goes up, I will send you a press release so that you're fully informed about it as soon as it goes up. But I can't really talk about that at the moment.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course not. You can't set it in motion quite yet. You couldn't put these ads up on buses either. There was some bus company that refused it, right?
Yeah. So when that got taken down, then I tried, there was something outside of Waitrose in London that lasted, it either lasted about 5 minutes or it didn't go up, but they didn't let me know either. It seems to be fine to take the money. And then it also went up in Leeds. That didn't last very long either. That went on a billboard by another company called, I think it was called Kong Media. And they didn't last very long either. But there's this, it's very interesting that none of these advertising agencies really have the guts to tell me that they're not going to keep it up. They just take it down. And then the bus companies in Edinburgh just wouldn't accept a copy. They just said, no, they don't want it.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. I mean, it's up to each individual company what kind of ads they'll allow in their space. But I think this is such a non-controversial thing. It's really funny to me that they're not even accepting it.
Mm. Well, the only controversy around this particular dictionary definition is that it's become controversial. That is kind of controversial in itself, that it's deemed anything other than a dictionary definition.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it in the copy for a range of products, women's products, like feminine hygiene products and things like that. They've danced around the word woman and invented a lot of other words that every time I stumble over a copy that is written that way, it just makes me so irritated. Because they're inventing these new terms, and it's like they're often like quite weird or cutesy or really medical somehow, like cervix havers.
I think it's both enraging, but overwhelmingly I'm increasingly more and more, I just feel afraid is perhaps too much of a sort of an immediate response word, but I do sometimes feel a heaviness on my chest where I just think, actually, this is really, really frightening. This is properly erasing women, sinister. You know, when they issued the statement, so they took the billboard down and they issued a statement. They didn't write to me. They put something on Twitter and it basically said that the copy should have raised a red flag and that they were deeply apologetic. And I just think
that is disturbing.
It's really disturbing. And I just thought at that moment that the most frightening thing about all of it was that they felt that it was a commercially viable decision to take it down as opposed to keep it up. And I think when you get to that place, and I don't know if they're right, because I don't think trans activists actually are particularly, I don't know if they spend money on advertising. I don't know if as a demographic they have a lot of money. They just have a lot of voice. And so I just think when you decide that it's commercially better to silence women and erase our language and bow to the mob, then we really, really are in quite a sticky place.
Yeah, I mean, we've always, in advertising, everybody keeps joking about the fact that the prime customer that you're always targeting is usually the woman of the family because she's making all the purchasing decisions. So mm-hmm. here they're removing the woman completely, and that's actually 80% of the time that's the punter we're actually talking to every time we make an ad for a car or something, because the woman is always the one who has the higher voice in the purchasing decisions in the family.
Mm. What's interesting, a friend of mine talks about death by a thousand cuts, And I think with most women, they'll kind of, they don't really notice their own erasure. And so when you have these sort of always, I think was one of the brands that turned to menstruators or whatever it was.
Always removed the female symbol.
Yeah.
From
women
their packaging.
Are almost okay about moving over. I just find that quite, I mean, perhaps I'm particularly entitled, but I'm not moving over. Like, I'm not going to accept that I have to just watch the erasure of women and just stand along and just be an observer.
Right. Well, I'm not moving either. I mean, to be able to make it in as a creative in advertising, which is kind of a really male-dominated field, you sort of have to have your elbows out and things. So I'm actually really surprised that these days, these women in the younger generation of women in advertising are quite happily moving over, like you say, which is surprising to me because I keep wondering how long they're going to last in this business.
Well, there's also a fragility, isn't there, amongst the young? And I'm pretty sure office politics have changed somewhat, where everything is a microaggression and it's not sustainable. You know, if you're trying to please everybody and not upset anybody all the time, I mean, how much space is there in creativity for those sorts of constraints?
Yeah, there's no space at all. I mean, we used to say that like a good ad or a good idea has to make you feel something. And if it really like pisses you off, it's probably a great idea.
Well, it's true, isn't it? I mean, the worst, I sort of think about some of the worst adverts, and none of them come to mind, obviously, because I'm talking about them. But some of the worst adverts that you then talk about, that brand still gets in your brain, whether or not you remember a year down the line that it really annoyed you, that advert really annoyed you. You might just remember, fluorescent branded steam cleaners. You just might not know why.
Yeah, well, I remember Johnny Rotten singing for butter. That was pretty good because that really, really annoyed me.
but you remember the lyrics about stuff like that as well, don't you? Even like the Go Compare advert is irritating as hell. And yet, if I sit at my computer and I want some insurance, that might be one of the first companies I put into my search engine.
Yeah, that's so true, especially when the jingles are really sticky and you remember the jingles 20 years down the line.
Mm. I think Dove, is it Dove? No, it might be Bodyform, has just done quite a long advert that's clearly either cinema or just YouTube based. It's not really meant, it seems too long to be on television unless they do the long version on YouTube and cinema and then just do sort of a 30 second or a 15 second version on the telly. But it's got a raging womb and it's got women having cramps and it's got miscarriage and it's got everything to do with sort of our female reproductive function. Mm-hmm. And all women are talking about it. They're all talking about it, and the empowerment that women feel by actually seeing the real, what really happens to our bodies. Yeah, not just kind of. I think Bodyform also did another brilliant advert. I'm probably getting the wrong brand, and it was actually a neighbor of mine that had done the advert where they were pouring blue on sort of a sanitary product. And it was all the sort of Mickey take of the fact that women's periods really aren't blue.
Yeah, so that's quite a few. That's a few years old. I really loved that one. I thought that was great. Mm.
Yeah, because I moved house 5 years ago and he was my neighbor back then. But just little things are just, I think there is a market right now. There is a big vacuum by all of these brands trying to appease the trans lobby by including, you know, including so-called trans men in period sort of product adverts, or just including everybody, which often excludes women. There's a big vacuum right now that if you had something really empowering and women-centered, I think women would absolutely lap it up.
Yeah, no, I that reminds me of the Dove ad that ran a couple of years ago, and I sort of got in trouble for pointing it out, but the Dove commercial was all about the different ways of being a mother. So they had these mothers who were hip hop dancers and rock climbers and, you know, not your usual Hausfrau. And so one of the mothers was the biological father. And in the scene where this mother was saying, you know, we're both mothers and everything, I noticed that the biological mother never got to speak. And so
of course.
I found that really creepy. And it also was sort of, it was going against the main thought of the campaign. And so I wrote an article about that. And I don't think I've ever received that many comments in recent years, because there were a lot of people that were agreeing with me, but there were also a lot of people who had to point out what a hateful bigot I was, which I find kind of interesting.
Well, that particular advert, for me, when I watch something like that, the subtext for me is that she's erased. I mean, I don't, do you have children?
Yeah, I have a teenage girl.
Right. So that, I mean, often people try and say that mothers can be replaced, whether it be, you know, by shared parent leave. And I'm a little bit, I'm becoming more militant as I get older about, actually, no, women make the best mothers. Now, that means that we feed our infants, we grow our babies. They know our smell and our voice before they're born. And fathers also have a really important role to play. And if you're in an adopted family or a mixed family or anything like that, there are other ways to be a family. But we have biological connections that cannot be replaced with both our mother and father. And so when people sort of say, oh, men can do just as well with infants, I'm like, actually, no, they can't, because their hypothalamus doesn't change. They don't have the same connectivity with their babies because they didn't grow them in their bodies.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly it. I completely agree with you, because I didn't, I don't think I believed in that as strongly before I was pregnant. But once you've gone through a full pregnancy, it's like, I know when my daughter is crying and upset and she could be in a different country, and I know when that's happening. I don't think you can fake that thing.
No, and I'm tired of, I mean, it happens in feminist circles as well as other circles, that the value of motherhood is somewhat diminished just for the sake of, I don't even know what. But when you start saying that women can go to work as soon as the baby's like 6 weeks, we can put that baby in care, and isn't it a great government that assists you in financially affording your baby going into care? I'm like, well, I think a government that valued mothers might give mothers a little bit more space. Who wanted it? You know, not that women can't return to work if they love their jobs and they can't do without the career progression or whatever, and the way our society is set up, then go for your life, do whatever makes you happy. But don't think that your bond with your baby can be replicated by anybody else, because it just can't.
No. It really can't.
And that man. I mean, I think, because I've been working in this, I say work, because I've been campaigning in this area for like 5 years now, I know that what will have been going on in that relationship will have been some serious amount of gaslighting, will have been significant amounts of envy, narcissism and selfishness. And that woman will have been subjected to whatever these relationships usually offer. And it's definitely not something that is beneficial to that mother.
No. The gaslighting is a really interesting term, too, because I keep thinking of the book 1984, where they have the Minister of Truth who's changing the meanings of words. And if we're constantly changing the meaning of female and woman today, it just feels like this is something that's actually straight from that book. And that kind of spooks me a little bit. Because who's benefiting from that?
It's not women, is it?
Nope.
it's really, like, I have moments, like many moments, actually, more than I'd like, where I feel my head being crushed. And I'm really resilient. So I'm in a I've got a really happy life. I mean, it's not perfect. I've got a very happy life. I've got healthy kids. We've got no illness in the family. We've got nothing, no financial worries. I've got a great marriage, yada, yada, yada. And yet, and I've never had depression, I've never had anxiety, nothing. And yet sometimes even I get to a point where I just think, I don't know how much more of this I can take. I don't know if I can read or watch a video of another young woman who's just had her breast amputated, who is talking about internalized transphobia because she still hates her body, when really what the whole thing is internalized misogyny and trauma and homophobia and all those things. And I just get to that point where I just think, I'm going to stop it. We have to stop it. It can't continue. But it is, we are being mass, you know, it's a mass gaslighting and an exercise in cognitive dissonance. Those two things that I was not familiar with until I really started this, it's everywhere.
It really is. Especially when you look at like the feminine hygiene products and things that are targeted to women. And I just don't understand why brands are going along with it. I mean, I don't think Dove is getting an uptick in sales of their newly launched baby products with that ad with the two mothers in it. So I just can't see how it pays off for anybody to do that.
No, and there's, look, sometimes I get to the point where I'm like, is there, you know, are we gonna uncover a room with sort of 10 like oligarchs that are controlling the world, and they've just put all these things that are everywhere, because it's so everywhere, and it really doesn't make sense. It doesn't make commercial sense to get on board with this stuff that it can't last, because it's not true. So it will have a finite spell, and it will cause the most disruption and damage it possibly can for sort of Western culture. I think it truly will, but it can't last because it's not true.
Yeah, and there's too many teenagers being harmed by this. And I keep thinking, like, was there a plan of certain medical companies to sort of expand the market? Because like for some drugs I had to take because I suffer from endometriosis, which is no fun at all. And then they gave me lots of hormones and stuff because the plan is we need to stop you from menstruating for a moment and maybe that'll fix it. Right. So I've basically gone through a lot of the drugs that transgender teens are put on. But of course, for me, each time it would be, you could only do this for 6 months because everything else will give too many side effects, which would be damaging to your bones and your body and all sorts of, it gives long-lasting bad effects. And now they've even, in Sweden, for example, they will not give you Lupron anymore because the side effects are too harsh and it's too strong. And this is exactly what they're giving transgender children. So that's why I reacted, because I was like, I remember being on these drugs and how the side effects would really mess with my mind. Like, I couldn't think properly. And to give that to a developing brain would be extreme.
Well, there are numerous scandals about Lupron. There's the scandal of women taking it in Haiti. I can't remember what for, but they now have severe anxiety and depression after taking Lupron. I doubt if the controls were like, you know, like they were for you in Sweden. But there's also the scandal of Lupron being given to men with prostate cancer. And some doctors were given kickbacks by the company that make Lupron to the tune of $1.6 million. This was not, you know, that was maybe the highest amount, but it wasn't unusual for doctors to be making hundreds of thousands from actually giving these men Lupron. And some of those doctors knew that those patients didn't need it or it wouldn't help. And what was happening, if you know anything about prostate cancer, when men get it when they're old, they die with it, not of it. Yeah. So it's like a slow cancer. And some of these men were dying of heart failure as a side effect of Lupron, who, had they not taken Lupron, they would have died with cancer, not of it. So the scandal, when you start mixing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And in Lupron's case, I think it's something like 800 million a year. You lose a sense of morality. I'm sure you do. Money has the power to corrupt even the most moral mind.
Yeah, I can't see anybody willingly giving their children any GnRH drugs or Lupron or Cinerelle, or there's so many names for the same thing these days, because I just remember how that really messed up my head. I can't imagine anybody going through that for a longer period than 6 months without permanent brain damage.
Yeah, I often think about the medics that do it, and I've tried to be charitable, and I've sort of thought, well, maybe they think, and maybe they do it because they really genuinely believe it, and then I get to the point where I think I don't buy it. I think they're just evil. I genuinely just think they are monstrous. And if you know anything about medicine, you know that the side effects are long term, and that they'll make these children infertile. They'll make their sexual development not happen, which means they will never have a fulfilling sex life ever. Whatever they do to their body after 3-5 years on Lupron, they have no chance of sexual function. And I think it's absolutely barbaric. You know, we say about women in sort of North African countries who subject their daughters to FGM or breast ironing to stop their daughters being raped. Mm-hmm. We say that they're barbaric. There's something about it when we look at a poor country or a supposed lesser culture, and I use those words not about how I feel about them, but how people must feel about them in order to say that what they're doing in that harm is wrong, but what we're doing is progressive, because it's the same thing.
It really is. I mean, breast binding has become a huge trend. I know girls that went to the same school as my daughter were doing it, and they are damaging their own rib cages and their growing, developing chest. It's not something. I just kind of want to take them aside and go, has your mother not spoken to you? Like, this is not a good idea. It's I know what it's like to grow up to become a woman, and for a moment there, you kind of don't want to, because at least I still wanted to climb trees and and play around. So I found it quite difficult, but you know, so at least my daughter now has me to ask, because I recognize everything that she feels.
Well, can you imagine if a big ad company was asked to advertise binders? I mean, it probably couldn't pass through advertising standards. Whereas these lobby groups are allowed to sort of say that they're great.
Yeah, and they might have a bigger advantage as well, because they can get into media channels, because they're basically every month they're writing stories about some trans man having a baby. And just even the terms there confuse people, because when people say trans man, they think it's a male who's transitioning, rather than it's a woman who transitioned to become a man or a woman with a beard.
Well, I think in the UK, we obviously have Brexit. And so if you were voting Leave, you thought all the stories about Remain were lies, and vice versa, right? That's a political issue, and you just think everyone's biased. And I think that the sign of a balanced kind of media outlet is that both sides think it's biased, because then it's not pleasing either side, and it's displeasing both. So that's quite a good thing. But with the with this particular issue, I think that there's a lack of clarity. It's just very strange. For example, Mermaids is allowed to advertise in the middle of Minecraft videos telling children they might be trans.
Oh, hold on. Really? Because there's so many rules against advertising directly to children.
Right in the middle of Minecraft videos, my son said to me, "Mummy, I can't even have Minecraft."
Wow. That's quite disturbing. And I know, like, big companies like Starbucks, they were selling mermaid cookies and donating proceeds to the mermaids as well. So apparently some companies think this is a great idea to join in on this. And I don't think
they've got very good PR. They've got a very, very good PR. He's come from Stonewall. He's obviously, you know, they got lots of money from the lottery. They got lots of money from Google. They've got lots of money from Amazon. They get lots of money from big benefactors. Weirdly, a lot of men who call themselves trans on Twitter who've never had anything to do with children or women's rights are very pro mermaids. It does make you wonder. But this,
it makes me wonder that Google always shows up in these discussions too. I'm always wondering why giant tech companies want to weigh in on this, because if you think about it, it was Facebook that started with, like, you didn't just have to select genders between male and female. You could select 57 different genders. The Facebook were the first ones out with that.
I wonder if it's because they've got young workforces. I wonder if there's any sort of people over 30 who actually work in any of these places, whether it's an exploitable market.
Well, my husband does. He's over 30, I promise. He looks young, though.
Well, it's, you know, you see these, I just don't buy it. I really don't buy it. I think it's a very sinister money-making ploy. Google, for example, have got involved in the GRA. So we have a Gender Recognition Act, which basically it came about in 2004 because we didn't want homosexuals to get married. And so rather than face our homophobia and eradicate that particular barrier to same-sex couples getting married, we did this whole round the houses thing where we decided, oh, I know, we'll just say that these people are the opposite sex, which still didn't help homosexuals who didn't want to transition. It just happened the few that kind of looked a bit more like the opposite sex. And that's how we, you know, that's how we overcame our homophobia. Now, what's very interesting about the GRA is the Church of England was exempt, didn't have to go along with two people who said that they were, didn't have to go along with marrying two people of the same sex, even if one of them had a GRA to say that they were the opposite sex. So the Church of England escaped, and also rich people who have, I can't ever remember the term, but it's like inheritance for super posh people where the first male will inherit the estate or the title. Mm-hmm. And what you can get in this country is you can get someone who's got daughters who will leave their entire estate to their sort of seventh cousin once removed in Spain who happens to be a man. So that's how those sort of titled sort of stuff works. And they're also exempt. So if you've got two daughters and you've got a nephew who is male, those daughters can't transition into being legally male to ensure that they inherit your fortune.
Oh, that's quite bizarre. In Sweden, it's illegal to not be able to give, you have to give equal amounts to everybody because of the situation where women born into families where they had family farms and things wouldn't inherit the farm, only the sons would. And so to rectify that, you have to now, like, all of your children have to inherit equally.
And gosh, what happens if one of them's awful?
you start giving things away to the other ones.
Yeah, but I mean, we have that, like, until the last couple of royals were born, we still had the first male would be the heir to the throne, the first male child. So you could have three little girls and then a boy, and the boy would be king. The girls wouldn't be queen.
Yeah, we fixed that, I don't know, 40 years ago when our firstborn was a daughter. So she's going to be queen. We fixed that law then. It's probably in the 70s. I can't remember.
We didn't have, like, women couldn't have property until after 1974, after divorce.
Oh, that's so, absolutely, yeah, wild.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But I can take, do you know what? I'd rather have that world where people just were quite honest about their misogyny rather than And, you know, maybe we're ignorant, maybe just needed educating, and the steps were still forward, right? This particular assault on women's rights is such a massive, giant leap backwards. And it's so underhand that you can't, many women can't even name it. They can't even speak it because they maybe feel uncomfortable, but they don't know what it is that's unsettling.
Yeah, it's I've noticed, like, if you say anything at all on Twitter, you will basically be shunned and blocked and deleted and put on lists, which is always quite interesting. But what surprises me is that there's so many women in advertising who will attack you for, like, saying something that's quite gender critical or so, and saying that we have to, like, fight for trans rights and so on. And I'm fine with trans rights. I mean, every human should have human rights, obviously. But if there are separate categories for women in as a group, for, like, for example, getting scholarships and going on sports teams and things like that, if we remove those categories, then we're removing the chance for these women to, like, get free college or a career in sports and things like that. So it does encroach on women's rights if we don't, like, base the sex categories on sex anymore.
Do you think these young women, because I think young women are kind of the, George Orwell talks about it in 1984, like the people that Winston Smith hated the most were the young women, because they were most likely to inform and uphold. They were like the spies. And I think they sort of do the work of Big Brother. And that's much like, I don't even like the term patriarchy, because I often feel it doesn't accurately describe what's going on. It's a bit intangible. But if there were anybody who were like the worker bees for the big fat honeycomb of the patriarchy, then it would be a lot of these young liberal feminist women. But I wonder if they've been, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I wonder if they've sort of been conned into thinking that they have sort of privilege and status in society that they simply don't occupy. And they've yet to come across a point at which it's made them question it. I remember being in my 20s. I thought I could do everything. You know, I worked in a male environment. I was brilliant at my job. I was better than most of the men on the floor. As far as I was concerned, I could charm my way in and out of anything, and I was infallible. And then as you get older, that sort of the whole body in which you occupy becomes more and more of something that you see as a potential barrier to something.
Yeah, no, I think they're conned. I mean, in a sense, there's two things going on. I think a lot of women are brought up and socialized to please everybody as much as possible, and so there's partly that they just want to please everybody, and then it could also be that they simply think, if I'm a really good assistant on this one, I'll get a leg up and my career will be better for it.
They're so wrong. I mean, it does, at the end of it, it doesn't matter how nice they are, it doesn't matter how much you appease. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if you're polite. If you sort of change your language a little bit and you don't say men, you say male-bodied, or you say trans women, there will come a point where you realize it will not be enough.
No, it's never enough. I've discovered also, like, how it seeps into pretty much everything, because, well, now, right now, all around the world, the Black Lives Matter has kicked up again. So, I was reading, because they've changed their website a little bit, and so I was just checking up what their new manifesto is, and I was reading all of that, and it just struck me that in they jump straight into the second paragraph talking about Black trans women, and Black trans women's lives matter a lot, and I'm standing there, I'm reading this, and I'm going, what about the Black women? I mean, I thought that we were concerned about everybody who was a person of color, but apparently even there, it's more important to talk about the trans ones.
Well, also in America, you, as a Black woman, you are 3.5 more likely, 3.5 times more likely than a white woman to be killed in your own home. Black women face incredible levels of violence within their own community. And then they've got the wider world of racism. So, I mean, I'm not a great fan of intersectionality because I think it's led us into some of these deep, horrible pockets of identity politics. But mm-hmm. I think for a Black woman, it's a bit like the unspeakable thing when Black gay people come out and say we have two lots of oppression is most of the homophobia is not coming from the same place as the racism. The homophobia will come within some of the more homophobic cultures within Black culture. And so the Black Lives Matter, I mean, it was never about women, as far as I could see. I think it was started by a couple of women, and one of those was a bit problematic with trans issues right from the start. Mm-hmm. I think it's always been a bit of a Trojan horse for the trans stuff. I think it's always been that. And it's really difficult as a white person, even though I loathe the identity politics and whether or not you're allowed to speak about things based upon your own characteristics. But there's something sort of questionable about any Black voices that are voices of dissent, even like someone like Terry Crews, who he said the terrible all lives matter. Mm. But he's an older Black man. He just says, I think you should love everybody. I think we should protect everybody. But he also talks very openly about racism and how it has impacted him in his life. But that's not good enough. He's not good enough anymore. You know, he's vilified. He's called an Uncle Tom, like any other Black person that doesn't support Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, that's quite disturbing. I mean, I have all kinds of respect for Terry Crews after he came out admitting he was addicted to porn, because having such a macho man talk about what a problem porn can become in a person's life, I thought was, well, really brave of him, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that was it Heinz Baked Beans advertised, Heinz advertised on Pornhub?
Yes. That was crazy. And just the fact that Pornhub is sort of, they're doing something that I've called ethics washing, which is they save the bees and they clean up ocean beaches and they do all sorts of like good stuff with the help of their porn stars as their PR campaign. And then everybody in the trade press and regular press write about how great Pornhub is. And this way they get their website advertised. And I think that's really quite disturbing considering how many rape videos are up on Pornhub and they're making millions and millions off of these videos, like revenge porn and child abuse and all sorts of horrible things that the victims can't get taken down. And
my view is that if I had a rape video on my hard drive and the police sometimes 15-year-olds, aren't they, or younger, they're children, some of these rape videos, and I had that on my own personal hard drive, I could serve time in prison for that. And so I really think that in order to be a purveyor of porn, online porn in particular, then if there are crimes that you are propagating and you are publishing, distributing, whatever they want to call what they do, if your platform actually has criminal activity, then somebody in your organization should be accountable and should press, you know, we should press criminal charges. And in each country that goes out, there is a potential that wherever that video reaches, whatever home that video makes it into, you will be accountable in that country also. And I have no idea why we don't do that. It's insane. But for someone like Heinz, a family brand, to even for a moment consider putting advertising dollars into Pornhub, I think the world has lost its mind.
Yeah, that's quite a shame. I do like their baked beans.
I haven't had them since I was a child.
Well, I only have them when I'm in England, because that's kind of a thing for the English breakfast for me.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because they're always there in the little puddings. And well, anytime I go to an English pub where they serve it.
Well, perhaps it's just a novelty. Perhaps if you had a Swedish equivalent, you wouldn't be so keen.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny how, like, as soon as I'm not in my home country, I start missing my food that you can get at home. And then when I move to another country, I start missing the food that I like there. So like I lived in Saudi Arabia when I was a kid for a moment. And my husband sometimes buys me halva. So and he gets like the proper stuff that's actually from the Middle East. And like I've literally cried when he brings it to me because it's like memories of childhood. It's so good.
I had a friend from South Africa and she was really missing home and it cost an absolute fortune. But I got her some Cross and Blackwell mayonnaise, which is kind of something that she was really missing. Cost me about 25 quid, 25 pounds for some mayonnaise. But then she sort of put it in a top cupboard and she didn't tell her husband and she'd have a little bit every day. It was great. She like burst into tears when I took it. I mean, it was probably bad because she was also pregnant, so she probably was crying all the time anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing that you do when you're pregnant. That's part of the fun. I thought this was a great talk. I thank you so much for coming to Adlands Podcast.
You're very welcome. It was absolute joy.